Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. This is a Hypnosis, Etc. with Meredith Locker podcast. If you're watching this anywhere but calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this episode is all kinds of different graphics and texts and links that support the video. Let me tell you about Meredith. Meredith, well, she's 45 now, actually. If you were watching last show, you know that she's been with us a year. Actually, it's over a year. Our first podcast together was posted in February 13th, 14th, something like that. We celebrated with an ice cream. I was thinking, why didn't we do that with Celeste? Because Celeste is in Texas, and it'd be really hard for me to run over to her house here from Orange County, California, or to hand her an ice cream. But, you know, maybe next episode, I'll eat one for you, Celeste. I'll take one for you. That'd be good. Meredith, let me tell you about Meredith. I don't even want to talk about Celeste, because when I talk about Celeste, then I greatly increase the probability I'm going to call Meredith Celeste. Because if you ever go back to, like, what was it, episode 114 or something like that, which was Meredith's first episode, I called her Celeste halfway through it. I got to stop saying Celeste, or I'm going to be so confused. Anyway, Meredith is a professional. She sees clients. She's a one percenter, best of the best. Very few people really understand 5-Path and some advanced hypnosis techniques as much as she does. She's got a master's in psychology. One of her main emphases is on eating disorders, and I was talking to her today, but we should probably do a podcast on maybe a case history where she worked with an eating disorder. That would be really interesting. You know, we're never going to run out of ideas, are we, Meredith?
Never, ever, ever. Never. And you know what? You took it a whole step farther. You didn't just call me Celeste. You called us Molest, which was my absolute favorite.
Molest. I called you Molest because there's Meredith and Celeste all rolled into one.
Yes.
That was one of my most top 10 most embarrassing moments on the show.
That's one of my absolute favorite moments on the show. It's the best. And that's only because you are one of those people who rarely screws up. I'm not sure if you guys are quite aware of the vastness that is Cal Banyan, but Cal Banyan is my mentor. He is the top of the profession. He is the creator of 5-Path. He brought us 7th-Path self-hypnosis. He is continuously expanding and growing and creating and impressing and educating and training, and it's just a beauty to behold, and really an honor to be a part of it. So thank you for everything that you are, Cal.
I'm so excited to have you on the show, and Elron, and honored to have had Celeste in the past and our other guests that we've had in the past. But gosh, I think we have a really great time, Meredith. So what are we going to do today with this podcast?
Well, first I've got a few things to share, and then we're going to continue what we started last podcast, which is really exciting, getting into one of my personal favorite techniques and subjects, and that is doing age progression, getting into the future reinforcing event, and helping our clients to create a more successful future using those techniques. And so we're going to get back into that in a minute. But first, I want to share some of the great comments and feedback. And by the way, we're always looking for your feedback, always looking for your comments and questions. And, thank you so much to those of you who are going and watching this on calbanyan.com, where you see below all kinds of links and specials about things that we mention, and updates and all kinds of information, some summary of what we talk about, and then of course there's always the opportunity to post details, and people have been coming on and posting so often, and we really appreciate all of you that do. Apparently your leather episodes have been causing quite a stir, Cal, and we've gotten some great comments here. We've gotten Lydia wrote, "The sound of your leather jacket reminded me of being a kid. There I was on the living room floor watching Bonanza. Ben Cartwright at his desk has nothing to do with hypnosis, or does it?"
That's actually who I am. I am the Ben Cartwright, the man himself of hypnosis.
Indeed you are.
And we're providing a bonanza full of hypnosis information. What was the name of that ranch?
Oh, goodness. I have no idea.
All right, you viewers, if you're watching this and you know the name of the ranch that Ben Cartwright, Little Joe, Haas, and I think there was another brother, too, where they lived. You write that down. I know it was in Nevada.
And of course, our friend Celeste is still watching these podcasts, and she posted, "Love the squeak of your leather jacket while you're talking, LOL." She just was really excited about the talk about their, you know, the PhD in hypnosis, kind of, if you will, fraudulence, and you know, the lack of true accredited universities teaching that, and made some comments about that, and just so many comments. The podcast on putting God in the chair had a huge list of wonderful comments and discussion that's been created. It's so important that we realize we are a community, and that this information isn't just to educate, it is to increase awareness and increase discussion and increase connectivity and to create that synergy that we can have as a community, and that's so important. Anything to add to that part, Cal?
Yes, I do. I want to let you know that I am going to no longer be wearing my leather jacket in the podcast. I mean, maybe special occasions. I don't know, the Laughlin Run or Sturgis or Bike Week in Florida or something like that. But it's kind of hot. And I think I've made my point. I'm not wearing my sunglasses anymore. I might just keep wearing this vest, but I think I've made my point. The idea is to be the best of the best. The hardcore bikers, the one percenters, they don't do it just on weekends. Every day, they talk the talk and walk the walk. And that's really what the main theme of this whole program is about. You know, hypno wimps need not apply. You're not going to like this program. One percenters and one percenters in training. Prospects, that's what they call them, prospects. If you're a hypno one percenter prospect and you want to eventually be one of the best of the best, then, you know, you need to find a really good trainer and you need to follow this podcast and, you know, we'll help you out. We'll do what we can. All right, so continue with do any more feedback to talk about?
Yeah, I do. And I really want to thank Steve Rowe, who is just such an intellectual, amazing hypnotherapist. And, you know, he writes such heartfelt comments. I mean, they're too long and too in-depth to really get into here, but I just want to thank you. They're always appreciated, always helpful in creating discussion and in helping us all to rise to the heights that we want to rise to in the 1% Club. So thank you for being a part of that and for sharing that part of you. Joseph has been sharing...
Wait, let me say something about Steve Rowe. Now, he's writing for the e-zine, just like you are, and Celeste is, and that e-zine, we've got a new quarterly edition. It comes out in April 1st, and so it should be available for you right now. Should have been up for about a week. And let's see, we'll just go there. It's on hypnosiscenter.com and hypnosis.org in the free stuff area, and just lots and lots more information. And I identified that Steve, he was writing such good stuff to the groups, and in the comments section, I says, you just need to write for us. And so he's got a column there. And so, along with you.
Yes, he's out there in Philadelphia. I just love how we are connecting with people here in the U.S. and all over the world. I mean, we do get comments and feedback from people internationally all the time, and it's really fun. I know I get a lot of questions personally that, you know, I don't always answer because it's not really the focus of why we're doing what we're doing here, but I still appreciate the interest, and I appreciate all that communication. We did get another comment from Aaron. This is very timely at this point. Aaron says, with the passage of the healthcare reform here in the U.S., one of the effects is creating incentive to look into alternative treatments and preventative care. It seems to me that hypnosis would be one of the best preventatives, as all that relaxation would prevent the stress-related disorders before they can start. As the AMA recognized hypnosis as a legitimate practice, it's only a matter of time until it's more recognized as a useful and healthy tool. And by the way, we would love to have the actual citation of that. So if any of you viewers have the actual AMA citation of when that appeared in a journal recognizing hypnosis, if you want to go to calbanion.com and post that down in the feedback section, that would be really helpful. Thank you. And Aaron asks, Cal, do you predict any changes to come from this?
You know, really, what I'm thinking about was how good it was to have ice cream last episode.
It was good. Still on the tip
of our
tongue.
I think that should be a tradition. Except then we'd have to get a wide-angle lens for both of us. Okay. I'm sorry, what was the question again?
So, do you predict any changes? I believe he's saying in the hypnosis world, or with you know, regard to hypnosis, because of the Healthcare Reform Act.
Okay. Well, one of the things is there's all this healthcare reform stuff, and you know what? We don't know how that's going to turn out. Your crystal ball is as good as my crystal ball on that. There was something else in that message we received too, that, you know, now the AMA is kind of re-recognizing that that hypnosis, hypnotherapy is effective. Well, you know, they did that for the first time back in 1958. The British Medical Association for the first time recognized that hypnosis was useful in 1957. And then the AMA, they said, well, you know, we're going to recant that. Now, apparently, they're saying that, you know, that it's useful again. Well, you know what? This is the deal, hypnotists and hypnotherapists out there. Yeah, boy, you know, I'm going to, you know me, I don't care who likes me. And I don't try to cause trouble, but I'm going to speak my mind. And when it comes to the AMA, when the American Medical Association, when they start approving stuff or recognizing stuff, you know what that means? That's just like they're just drawing the line in the sand and says, this is ours. You know, in the past, that's what they've done. They're going to say, okay, this, now they're going to start calling it a medical procedure. I wouldn't be surprised if at one time they'll say, okay, now to do hypnosis, you know, you really should be a doctor and go through all the old battles again of the American Medical Association trying to say that, gosh, if you do hypnosis, you're practicing medicine without a license and all that stuff. And gosh, you know, well, you know, if you guys want to go through that war again, we're ready. I mean, we're ready. There's a National Guild of Hypnotists. They're ready to take this. There's a National Health Freedom Organization. We're ready. If you want to start making this your thing, which I anticipate, don't know that it's going to happen. Your crystal ball is as good as mine. But in the past, that's what they do. When they start recognizing it, they're like claiming it. So you guys be ready to stand up for your profession. We don't want to have what we do be defined by the American Psychological Association, the American Medical Association, or the British Medical Association, or any other association. We have the right to practice. We have the right to do what we do. And, you know, some people, can you tell that I'm on my soapbox again? But sometimes we'll have hypnotists and hypnotherapists say, gosh, we should really become a licensed profession. Guess what? You know why some professions are licensed? Because what they do is dangerous. That's right. That's why you have to have a license to drive a car. That's why you have to have a hunting license. That's why you have to have these different licenses, is because practicing medicine is dangerous. Do you know that one of the most dangerous places you could ever go is a hospital? More people die in hospitals than anywhere else. So, well, of course, it's because they're sick people. But the idea is that what hypnotists do, by and large, vast majority of cases, we work with normal everyday people with normal everyday problems, changing mood, behavior, these kinds of things. Now, we do hypnotherapy when we're actually working on a medical or psychological problem. We should only do that where it's legal to do so. And also, that's when we want to partner with a medical professional or a psychological professional, mental health professionals, these kinds of things, and work with them in the same way that a physical therapist or an occupational therapist would work with a doctor or a psychologist. So what's going to happen with all the healthcare stuff we've been hearing about? Nobody knows. You know, the people who voted for the big new healthcare bill, almost none of them read it. It's more about politics than it is about being rational. And as far as the AMA approving or recognizing hypnosis, we don't need you. We all, you know, we are a separate and independent profession. God bless Dr. Dwight Damon, who's really pushed that so strongly through the National Guild of Hypnotists. The National Guild of Hypnotists has even coined another title, which is consulting hypnotist, to define kind of that in between hypnotherapist and hypnotist to say, you know, what is a consulting hypnotist? A consulting hypnotist is a trained and certified hypnosis professional who's going to use his or her skills to help somebody get what they want. The hypnotherapist and hypnotist and consulting hypnotist, basically there's no difference between those three. It's whatever you want to call yourself. Now, whether or not you're doing hypnosis or you're doing hypnotherapy depends on the condition of the client. I think I've talked about this before. Normal everyday people, normal everyday problems, you're doing hypnosis work. Or you're doing the work of a consulting hypnotist. But if a person has a diagnosable psychology or medical condition, then what you're trying to do is use hypnosis to move someone towards health and wholeness. And in that case, you are doing hypnotherapy. And you should always do that within your abilities and training and the legality of where you serve your clients. Phew. Back to you, Meredith.
Wow, Cal. All I can say is, everybody out there, you never know quite what you're going to get until you ask. And so thank you, Aaron, for that question. And thank you, Cal, for all that insight. And it's always fun to see the world through your eyes and through your experience and your wisdom. And I think that was probably helpful to create clarity for a lot of people on that subject. But I want to get back into free, because let's get back into the actual nitty-gritty of helping our clients. And now what we're talking about here is age progression. We've talked quite a bit, and you can find a ton of podcasts on age regression that we've done in the past. It is, you know, really one of the most important aspects of the work that we do as Five Pathers and even in general as a non-Five Path hypnotherapist. But one of the important aspects of it can be launching off of that regression into progression, or with people like athletes, only doing the progression when the athlete is in the middle of a competition or in the middle of a season, and it's not really appropriate to stir up all of that emotional stuff for them. And so using age progression and going to a future reinforcing event, which is what FRA or free is, is really helpful. And we got into that last podcast. If you haven't checked it out, please do first before you listen to this one, because you'll get more information there. But I had a little bit more that I wanted to get out of Cal about this. I want to know a little bit more about, you know, we talked about going to a few or even more events, depending on what the issue is. Three is a charm, and if you can do even more than that, more power to you. How much leading, Cal, do you do in that, or how much do you kind of just, like we do in age regression, just give them prompts off of which they can launch?
Well, one of the words we want to really avoid in our profession is leading, because it's really something we really, really, really don't want to do in age regression. And leading is where we suggest things have happened in the past which were not revealed through the experiencing of the event by the client. And so, like, leading is, and I know you know this, Meredith, but just for everybody, since the word did get out there, like, for example, a client comes in and says, oh, my talk therapist or my counselor believes I was abused as a child sexually, and so I want to do age regression. I want you to take me back to that. Well, that's conjecture on the part of the other therapist, and we don't have to be guided by the mistakes of other professions. And we've got to tell our client that, gosh, we don't know that that's true. What do you really want to work on? And they might talk about relationship issues or whatever it is for that person. Let's work on that. And if there are sexual abuse issues in there somewhere, they'll come up. But let's not go looking for them. So in age progression, I think we're really talking about, you know, direction or guidance and that kind of thing. And I'm trying to figure out from your question, what are you asking for that we haven't already talked about? Because I'm a little bit unclear.
Yeah, and so are you sending them directly to certain times of day, certain events? Are you recommending that it's more beneficial to be more general and just taking them to, you know, when I count to 1 to 3, you'll be at an event in the future and, you know, feeling confident, feeling capable, feeling in charge of your eating, what have you? How vague or how specific do you recommend we get?
Well, you know, really, I did talk about the event, but let me talk a little bit more in this episode about how I would get there and with what information. So, for example, with someone who we've really uncovered the cause of their eating behavior, and in my book, The Secret Language of Feelings, and you can go to thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. To find out more about it. I've got some free podcast audios there that are kind of fun and informative. But what we really find out over and over again with our clients is that they get a feeling inside them that they don't like. They could be fear, anger, guilt, sadness, loneliness, frustration, even depression. And what they do is they use the technique of taking their attention away from how they feel inside to something external. It might be eating, it might be drinking, it might be exercise, it might be working too much, gambling too much, sexing too much, whatever it is. So with the eating client, we in the age regression, we find out the cause of that emotion and we neutralize it. Because there's really nothing they can do now to neutralize that emotion from the past. Now, in the age progression, what we're going to do is say, now in a moment, we'll count from 1 to 5. When I get to 5, you're going to be at, and I might name an event specifically, like going to the buffet, or it might be dinner time. You know, when we work with weight loss clients, we identify problems that are particularly situations that are particularly problematic for them. And we will say, and now you're going to be able to eat in a way that's going to make you so proud, that is going to be in a way that you're going to want to tell me about next week. Because now you know, and I review those insights. So really, I use the segue, once again, hear me talk about that, where I go over the insights that were experienced in the age regression, or in the forgiveness of others work, or in the forgiveness of self, or in the parts mediation work. These are all phase 2, 3, 4, and 5 respectively. And then I can go into the age progression work. So here's something I haven't talked about before. You don't have to be in age regression work, phase 2 of 5 path, to do age progression work. You can do age progression work really anytime you've done insight work, or anytime that you think you've helped a client. And certainly age regression, forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, and parts mediation work, or parts mediation therapy, it's the same thing, are times when they gain the insight. So what we do in the segue is we say, now that you know this, and we've neutralized this emotion, and now you feel that, the insights that are changing how they think and how they feel, now you're going to be able to go to this event, whatever the event is in the future, okay, the future reinforcing event, in control, doing exactly the way you want to. And then we, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there they are. So we can prime them that way. Now, I'm going to take this a little bit further, because you know how I can just go on and on. But at least I'm staying on topic this time. And what we do is we want to do the informed adult technique. Once we have the client go through 1, 2, 3, however many future reinforcing events. Why do we call them future reinforcing events? Because they're future events, probable future events, that reinforce the change that we want to make. So when we do age regression, we typically will make the changes in the child at the ISC and the SSCs, and then integrate that child into the adult. There's a number of ways we do that. Typically, we will have the child go into the center of them or next to their heart. Some people put the child in their heart. I like to have the child say, as I change, you change, because I am you. I live inside of you, where all your feelings come from, and then put them in the center. So child in the regression goes here, right? Well, what we do in the age progression, and with the in the future reinforcing events, for them to be reinforcing, they need to reinforce what they expect to happen, right? So we have them go through those events, and I will have the future self that's in those future reinforcing events dialogue with the self or grown-up. And I will tell that future self, I say, beautiful, now you know this, now you know that, whatever it is. Inside you are the words that this part of you in my chair needs to hear to ensure that those events are going to turn out that way and that these changes are permanent. I can't do this for you. Do it. And I'll have that future self that's just gone through those future reinforcing events, not only with the experience of the past, but now with the experience of the present. Do the informed adult. That means they talk to themselves from that perspective. And once that's done, let me tell you, when that future self is doing that, it's forming new beliefs and new feelings in the subconscious mind. And so I finish it off with something like this. I'll say, okay, future self, the little one, 5 or 7, whatever the age was of the child in the age regression, is in the center of grown-up next to his heart. You're going to go right into his head, right into his mind, as an everlasting picture, a expectation of positive results and experiences pre-lived, pre-experienced. And so I'm going to count from 1 to 3. I do that. You're going to go right in there as a program, as a mental expectation of success. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. And then I tap the individual on the forehead, and we have that now installed in the subconscious mind. And I will have the grown-up then repeat after me. I'll say, repeat after me, I've changed. And they'll say that, and I'll say, I've changed because now I know. And then they'll put an ending on that, and they'll say, because now I know. And they'll name the insights and the wisdom that they've gained. And say, put an ending on this, I've changed because now I feel. And they'll talk about how they've changed emotionally. And that's what we really do, us 1%ers, us 5-pathers, is we realize that we're working with the subconscious mind and the unconscious mind, trying to move the cognitive part of the mind and the emotional part of the mind into alignment, heading in the same place for success at what they came in for. And that's really why I got into this profession. When I was doing talk therapy, it could take sessions and sessions, weeks and months, to get the kind of change that I get to see every single session, which results in approaching 100% success with my clients. Whew. What do you think of that, Meredith?
Yes! That was awesome! This was
I gotta get me a soapbox or something.
This was like a brain excavation, a Cal brain excavation expedition. I love it. And what's so amazing about that, what you just described, is that it is so empowering. It is so empowering to that client to show them, look, you have your own answers. They've been inside of you all along. You don't need to go looking elsewhere. You can rely on yourself. You don't need me, the hypnotherapist. You got you, and you're more important. And now we just shifted gears for you, and you can take over from here. And what can be better than that?
Meredith, our time is up.
Indeed.
Wrap it up.
Well, you know what? We're not done with Frey. I've got more questions, so we're going to do another podcast on this next.
Awesomeonious.
My name is Meredith Locker. I am signing off. If you want to contact me, you can reach me at meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Looking forward to sharing more brain excavation of Cal Banyan next episode. Thank you so much.
If you want to get some of the best hypnosis training in the world, either because you're coming into the profession or because you're in the profession and you want to move up to that 1%er status, go to hypnosiscenter.com. Got my schedule there. I've got classes coming coming up. I want to see you in class. Go to go to ourhypnospace.com. Join in the network. It's getting better and better every day. And go to hypnosis.org. I just got a ton of stuff for you. That's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.